Good morning. We want to thank everyone for your prayers and the encouragement that my family has received through the passing of my father and the blessing last week of many of you sharing food with us for the memorial last week. It's a blessed time. It truly was a time of celebrating my father's life. I've heard some more stories about my dad that I didn't know about him, and grateful for the impact that he's had on many people. To tell you the venue, it was actually at Eastern Michigan University swimming pool, and the director of operations there has been friends with my dad for 17 years. My father was a behind-the-scenes kind of guy. And so he was a meat manager, and he ran the score table. He ran the sound, not the sound system, but the timing system, electronic timing system, those kind of things. And so as we met with the individual, Tim, it was his name, he said, you know, if you want to have the service here, we can do that. And so we did. There's quite a few people there. It was awesome. And then all us kids and grandkids got to swim afterwards. So kind of unique. He said his first time he ever had a funeral at a swimming pool. So, but it was would have been fitting. My dad just wanted a few words said at his gravesite. That's what he wanted. But as we got to thinking more about it, we thought this would be a way to honor Dad, and it was very powerful. But thank you so much. You guys are a wonderful family to be a part of here at Christian Fellowship. We just thank God so much for you. I'd like to read something that I come across here for Mother's Day. And it's ministered to me. This Mother's Day has been a little bit different for me this year. I've seen some things that I haven't seen before. And I won't go into great detail what those are. But I want God to make me more sensitive. I can be a callous person. And I know as I am trying to grow up in Jesus, our Lord has a way of doing that with us, making us more sensitive if we let Him. And I want that to happen in my life. So, mothers, let me share this with you. And it's actually more than mothers. So, to those who welcomed a new child into their lives this year, we celebrate with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains as your honor, we appreciate you. To those who experienced the agonizing death of a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who experienced loss this year through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or a child running away, we weep with you. To those who have made the difficult choice in your past to give up a child for adoption, we trust God's providence with you. To those who have dealt with a painful path of abortion, we embrace you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fought with pokes, prods, tears, and disappointments, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make this harder than it is. To those who are foster moms, adoptive moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we are grateful for you. To those who have experienced disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you today. To those who've lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who experience abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience and we pray for healing grace upon those wounds. To those who live through drive-in tests, medical tests, and the overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who will have emptier nests in the coming year, we both grieve and rejoice with you. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we joyfully anticipate with you. This Mother's Day, we walk with all of you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have genuine heroes in our midst. We remember you today, and we celebrate the grace of God that allows you to live with complete and perfect validation today, regardless of your motherly state or status. Every woman in the room is validated not by the number of children she does or doesn't have, or the success or failure of those children. Mother or not, every single woman and person in this room will only find validation through the loving sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. So we celebrate the moms in this room of every stripe and every story, whether it be physical or spiritual moms. But we do so knowing that it's not being a mother that makes you whole. It's the identity that you have been given as a daughter of the living God, made in His image and being perfected by His Son, by His Spirit and His Word. With that in mind, happy Mother's Day, moms. We love you, we appreciate you, and we are praying for you. Amen. I cannot take credit for that. Like I said, I came across that. It's been powerful for me. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful that you're near to us. We're so grateful for the promises of God and the promise of our Savior Jesus, who said He will never leave us nor forsake us. What a joy that wells up in our souls because of the kindness of our God who cares for our well-being. And Lord, we would ask that you would come and invade us today. We pray that you would give us ears to hear what you would have to say. And we pray that you would fashion us and mold us and shape us after the manner of your will and conform us to the image of Jesus. Bless your word today, we pray, and may we just lift up Jesus Christ, the crucified one, the one who loves us with an everlasting love. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would someone be willing to go get me a bottle of water, please? Thank you. This is praying about what God would have me to share on this day, and I really actually had a different message all planned out, and then a couple weeks ago, God changed it. And it really is in some sense of continuation of what last message was. If you heard my last message, it was about dying to self, and I've heard some pretty awesome testimonies from some young people and some older people. And the testimonies of dying to self, if you know anything about it, it's not easy to die to self. I don't like to die to self. I really don't. In fact, there's times that I just simply enjoy being myself and being quite selfish. And you can ask my wife on that. She'll be very forthright and honest with you. My kids will tell you that. Okay? But dying to self, knowing that it's going to bring life to somebody else, that's a powerful transformation that Jesus does in our hearts and our lives. Thank you, brother. He brings me two. That doesn't imply the length of the message. Okay? So it's a continuation of in some sense, of the previous message. And I'd encourage you, if you haven't listened to that previous message, not because I spoke it, but the words are still convicting to me. I've listened to it a couple times, and each time I just feel convicted that, God, I'm just not dead enough. I'm just not dead enough. Some of you don't have a problem with that. I do. So this morning I'd like to share with you about the concept or the heart of a servant. I'm learning more and more about the heart of a servant or how to serve. God has blessed me in my life with three people who have literally the gift of service. They have a heart to serve. I'm blown away. We're encouraged by our Savior, the Lord Jesus, in Mark chapter 9, verse 33. Some of these you might want to write down. We'll be turning to some of the scriptures, but we're still going to try and stay on track for time. So you can pray for that. But Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, verse 33 to 35, Jesus came and he came to Capernaum. I'm reading out of the KJV. Some will be out of ESV and some KJV. And he came to Capernaum. Being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that you disputed?" Speaking to his disciples, "What were you disputing about among yourselves as we walk by the way?" But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed, they had deliberated, or they had reasoned within themselves, or they were thinking among themselves. They disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. Now, have you ever been in, I'm sure in the family, if you've got siblings, there's times when you sit around and say, "I think Mom likes me better. You know, I think Dad likes me better." You know, our daughter will occasionally say to our sons, "Mom and Dad like me better." and then you kind of see something, "Oh yeah, that's just because you do this, or this, or this." You know, the bickering amongst themselves. Well, these are grown adults, these disciples. And yet that question is still, you know, very real to them. And they're thinking, who would be greatest among themselves with the Lord Jesus Christ? And it could be Peter, James, and John. Well, they went up on the hill of transfiguration. I could see those guys saying, "He took us, didn't take you." You know, I don't know. It's all that speculation, but you got to know that it's a real thing taking place here. And he sat down, he called the 12 and said unto them, "If any man desires to be first, the same shall be the last of all and servant of all." And Jesus is making some very clear qualifications. If you want to be great, become the what? The lowest, or the last, or ultimately the servant. Become a servant. You're going to find often in the scriptures that when Jesus is asking us to do something, he's already done it. He's already become that. He's the reality of it. In Matthew chapter 23, verses 11 and 12, verses 1 and 10, Jesus is actually talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, and he's actually identifying the scribes and the Pharisees and what they are not. In verses 11 and 12, he says, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." To become a servant, we've got to actually humble ourselves and somewhat see ourselves a little bit lower than the other person by whom we're going to serve. You say, "Well, that's not normal." You're right, it's not normal. It takes God's grace to accomplish that. We can't do it in our own natural strength. It just doesn't happen that way. God really wants to make each one of us servants. Now, you could say, "Well, Jesus told the disciples there in John chapter 15, he said, 'No longer am I going to call you servants, but I'm going to call you friends. Because I have made known unto you all these things.'" We still become servants. The scriptures identify that. James says the very first verse, he says, James, a servant of who? Of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. So the disciples still consider themselves to be servants, even though they're the friends of Christ. Jesus called them friends because it implied the closeness to bring them right in. Communicated to them the closeness and conversations and communications of what he was going to do. He never said, "You're no longer going to be a servant." That's not what that's implying there in John chapter 15. So here he says, and when he actually points out the Pharisees and the scribes, it's pretty ugly when he writes there in verses 1 through 10 in Matthew 23 of who they are. He doesn't want his disciples to be like that. In Luke, I believe it's chapter 22, Jesus says, I'm among you as one who serves. Jesus also said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. You can help me out here. Serve, right. Thank you. Okay. Jesus sets a precedence for every one of us and sets an example that he delights and desires for us to become servers or servants. God has gifted some of us in this body to be servers. I'm not one of them. I have to learn how to serve. I'm pretty content just to sit in a chair and watch things take place and go by. And there are people who are busy, Martha's per se, busy serving the needs of the people. Let's turn over to Genesis chapter 39. Look at the life of Joseph. Just a little bit. We're not going to read all of this. I'm going to kind of highlight some of it, but we are going to read the first couple verses. Chapter 39. And I will say this, parents, one thing that it would be very important for you as parents is to teach your children how to serve. I see some of you families and you're doing a phenomenal job teaching your children how to serve. And if you're here and your mom and dad are making you serve, please, it's only a moment as you go through some of these trying times that you will begin to see the benefits of becoming one who serves. Chris and I felt years ago compelled to have our children work for nothing and become servers. And we would get in there with our kids and we would go and help family members and we'd serve. And you know that our kids wanted to be out playing and the five of us would go and serve various families in different ways. We'd get our hands dirty. We'd get our bodies dirty. We'd get, you know, filthy, ripping out old insulation, tearing down houses, all this kind of crazy stuff, you know. But we did it with our kids because we wanted to train our children to see the benefit that when you serve somebody, you actually give them life. And that's really God's desire because Jesus Christ served us in such a way that gives us eternal life. See, he served us at the cross. We don't always see that. We don't always recognize that. But he met a need that you could not meet. I could not meet. And that was the need of our sin being covered by the blood of Christ. So let me encourage you, young people. When mom and dad son, I want you to go over there and serve so-and-so, Mrs. the neighbor. Dad, you always ask, don't do that. Just die to yourself. Go do it. Because in doing that, you're going to see God work in your life. You'll be a blessing. You'll see some things. You'll learn some things. And it just works out. Let's go to I really want to encourage you children, young people. And when I say children, I'm not implying 2-3-year-olds. I'm implying the age that's in here right now. My granddaughter's over there. She's 11. She's going through some of these stages, some of these challenges. Mom and dad are encouraging her to serve. She's doing some neat things. I've seen her take some initiatives. I'm just looking back and say, wow, that's pretty awesome. 11-year-old? I didn't do that when I was 11, you know. As you obey your mom and dad, you'll see God's blessing on your life, as difficult as it may be. And you might not understand it right now, but 10 years from now, you'll be able to look back and say, wow, I'm sure glad, mom and dad. Chapter 39. Joseph. Reading out of the ESV. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites, who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of the Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer of his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was all on all that he had in house and field, so that he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. And because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. I'm going to stop right there just for time. I'd encourage you to read the rest of the chapter and go into chapter 40. And most of you know the story of Joseph. The neat thing about Joseph's life is that the scripture says that the Lord was with him. Everyone in here who names the name of Christ, who has trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, the Lord is with you. He's with us. So in some sense, we have the blessing of the Lord because He is with us to be able to go and prosper and succeed in ways that the world won't understand. There's times God is going to bless the very environment that you're in just because of you. The Lord's with you. It's Him in us doing what's being accomplished. But the blessing of God's upon us because of Him. We really cannot serve unless the Lord is with us. We can. You come to that place knowing that we receive grace from God to be able to bless somebody else only because God has blessed us. God has gifted each one of us with some skills, abilities, gifts, monies, many things. But it's all that God has given to us. We're just stewards. As it comes to us, where's it supposed to go? We got to figure that out. And sometimes God gives us those things so that we learn how to serve one another and give and invest for ourselves and each other. The Spirit of the Lord dwelling within us makes a difference on all things and how we see things and how we can meet needs and serve one another. If you look previously in the chapters here with Joseph's life, you know that he did not have an attitude of serving. He had an attitude of saying to his brothers, "You're all going to bow down to me one day." That's pretty arrogant. Something happens. Something begins to change in Joseph's life. Scripture doesn't allude to it. But all of a sudden he's been bought. He's a slave now in this guy's house who has big mansions, big things going on. It comes in. His life begins to change. The Lord is with him. The Lord's not forsaken him. And as he begins to do things and serve the one who has bought him, he begins to make investments, make wise decisions, doing all things that, and his boss, Potiphar, sees that God's blessing is on him. I'm going to turn him loose. It's kind of like parenting. When you see your children begin to make wise decisions, you step back and let them grow. And that's not easy. The same thing can be said about work. The moment you punch that time clock, or you hit your time, I hate to say this to you, but you're a slave. That employer owns you. Our culture and our world will tell you different. That you've got rights. And you do have rights. But as a born-again believer, when you hit that clock, you walk in the door, and you're in those four walls or wherever you happen to work, that person owns you. And do you act like a servant or a slave? You say, John, you're coming out kind of hard. You're making me uncomfortable. That really what it comes down to. That man's paying you, or woman, is paying you a wage to perform the operations with expectations in a timely manner to accomplish what they've laid before you. You are not your own when you punch that clock. Now, I know I'm not trying to make an enemy here, but it is really true. And it is amazing how many people think. I had guys at work say, well, this ain't no prison. And I just want to say to them, how do you think this is a prison? Well, you're asking me to do this and this and this and this. Tell me when I got to come into a little law. Okay. Last time I checked is prisoners don't get to go home. Prisoners don't get paid for what they're doing. And I would dare say that if I could take you and one prison and trade places for 24 hours, I don't think you'd get out of prison because that person wouldn't go back. And so there's a misunderstanding, misconceptions amongst people who work for other people. And if you don't want to be a slave to somebody else, then work for yourself and start a business. God can be in that. And God might take these very words to free you to start a business. But it's also not very easy to own a business. It's not a piece of cake. Ask anyone who owns a business. Enough of employees. Somebody can say amen. You know, I will say this. God has blessed, and this is a prayer that I have asked God for years, that He would bless the fruit labor of my hands. And He has done that. And right now I work for a man. I happen to be working for a gentleman who loves me dearly. It's unbelievable. I have the keys to the kingdom. I really have a life pattern after Joseph and Daniel, the scriptures. A man who is God conscious. Whether he knows God, I don't know that. It would lend itself to believe that he doesn't know it. But I have the keys of the kingdom. And I stay under his authority. And I try to work and labor in such a way. And the blessing of God is on me. He will. My boss would tell you that. God has blessed me. And it's only because of what God has taught me from the scriptures about the life of Joseph and the life of Daniel and the life of Jesus Christ, really Jesus first, that as I serve, God's blessing is upon the servant, the heart of one who serves. And as I look at our place of employment and I can see about 20 believers in a place, and I wonder, is a blessing on our company because of God's people in that company? I don't know that. I really don't. But I can tell you some very good things. In the state of Michigan, my employer is the only one in Jackson County who pays full pay for our medical. I don't pay a dime. That's amazing. We have all kinds of benefits. He buys breakfast for every employee that works on a Saturday and Sunday. That's amazing. He does great things. He just, as my wife and I just got away this past week, he says, take your wife out on me for dinner. Now, it's just, it blows us away. And I know what God has done is because what Jesus is doing in my life. And I want to become that servant. I want to become one who serves. I want to humble myself, die to myself, especially when I'm in those four walls of the 40 or 50 hours a week. Because I'm not my own. I've been bought. And I'm being bought the time that I'm an employee. And we as believers, we've been bought with a price. And that's the blood of Christ. So, Joseph, going back to Joseph now. Joseph served in such a way that God's blessing was upon him. This guy, Potiphar, I dare say that he would not have been where he was at had it not been Joseph. He multiplied. He succeeded. A lot of great things took place. Those who serve. Joseph wasn't looking back on where he came from. He was looking forward. His heart was to serve the one that God had placed him under during that time. We look into chapter 40 when he's placed in prison. God, again, the prison, who oversaw the prison saw God's blessing upon Joseph. Same thing. He says, well, God's blessing. I can see this. I'm going to back off. Going to turn everything over to you. We see that, and then we also see it when Joseph is taken out of prison and then goes into the next home there. God seems, from what I can have seen in the scriptures and I see in life itself, God seems to always bless the one who serves. The one who is willing to humble themselves, become the lowest, and begin to serve. Now, I don't want to say, when I say God blesses, I don't want to say it's just monetary. Because really, as we serve, we actually free ourselves up from some of the other expectations or things that come into our life that is not healthy. And peace is a blessing. Joy is a blessing. And I find that the more that I serve out of a free heart, a humble heart, the joy that wells up because it begins to give life to somebody else. So what are some of the characteristics of a server? And Before I go here, let me say this. Potiphar's wife made advancements towards Joseph. Those who are willing to serve are going to find distractions. They're going to be facing temptations. They're going to have to stand alone. And it's God's desire that we look to him in those moments because he is the one that has given us the direction or the charge or the command or communicating to us to where we need to serve. God placed Joseph here so that he could learn a lot of things. We would agree with that. But as he became a servant, God raised him up. The principle there in Matthew 23 is whoever will humble themselves shall be exalted. And God chooses to exalt us the way that he wants to exalt us. As we humble ourselves and become a servant. Characteristics of a server. And I'm going to be... When I lay these things, you're going to see people in this body who actually identify with this very well. Like I say, I have three people in my life who are servers, who have the gift of service, who think this way, who walk this way, who live this way. My brother is one of them. He's not here, so I'll talk about him. He doesn't like me to talk about him in a sense because he's just a humble man. His name is Wayne. His first name's Carl Wayne Dudley. My mom chose to call him Wayne. Wayne means wagon. Wagon is a burden bearer, a picture of a server. He has an endless supply of one who serves. It's just unbelievable to watch him in action. I just am blown away. And God has blessed his life. Characteristics of a server. Usually humble people who do not mind getting dirty for someone else. Getting in the trenches. A server is one who sees a need and tries to meet it, whether it be physical, spiritual, or emotional. If you can walk alongside of somebody who has the gift of serving, they see things you don't see. In the way that servers in my life serve, they serve with great detail. When I've asked them, why are you doing that? Well, they really like this. Are you kidding me? You're going to go to that detail? I mean, they're grateful for this meal. Why would you? I mean, brother, I've even asked my brother this. Why would you do that? He said, because this really accentuates their desire to have what I'm about to give them. But how do you know that? I've just observed their life. A server sees things with great detail, and they try to meet the needs. Now, all this is energized by the grace of God as they walk and operate, as God gives them direction. They are dead to self. They deny oneself so others can benefit. They put others first. They serve to relieve the person of pressure, and they try to bless them. They're usually not afraid to stand alone. If there's a banquet here at the church, you go into the If you go into the kitchen area where they're washing dishes, there's a good chance the server's in there serving. And they're usually in there. They've already ate their meal so fast so that they can get in there and get about the business to accomplish what's got to get done so everyone else can go home. A server is one that many others within the body of Christ would take advantage of. Say, how so? It's usually the same ones who are doing the dishes over and over and over again. Say, I don't like to do dishes. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Servers are ones who find it very difficult to say no when they're asked to serve. A server will go above and beyond their own strength to accomplish what's being asked of them. And servers are usually the behind-the-scenes type of people. Jesus' example for us comes from Philippians chapter 2. If you're, and I'll put a plug in right here, if you're free on Saturday mornings, I'd encourage you to come out. We're going through the book of Philippians. Tom's leading us through the book of Philippians. It's been powerful already. 1 week, it's been very powerful. But we're told in verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Jesus served us, even going to the cross. He met our need, and that was the penalty for our sins. Right there, we see in that scripture alone, those who are going to serve have got to humble themselves. They have to obey. They become the servant and be willing to die to self so that somebody else can have life. Galatians, we're closing here real soon. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh or to be selfish, but through love serve one another." God's desire is that we would serve one another. "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." As we look to God and look around, and sometimes we've got to ask questions to find out what some of those needs are. Are your ears sensitive and tuned in to what God wants to do in your life through you to serve somebody else? God had blessed, this was a couple years ago, God had blessed Chris and I with some money, and we wanted to give a gift to somebody. We had a certain amount of money that was allocated that we believed God would have us to give. As we were talking, we didn't know if God wanted us to split the money up or whether he wanted us to give all the money to one person. We're talking through all this stuff. And so I said, "Honey, would you mind making out a check?" Now, here's how this works. I'm thinking it was one amount. My wife was thinking it was a different amount. So we come and we gave that gift away. And we talked on the way home, and I said, "You gave him such..." "No, I gave him this." "You did?" And she said, "Yeah, I thought that's what we were in agreement about." That's the difference between husband and wife. And it's good things. And I said, "Well, God must know that they're going to need it." And I felt that way, and it was freely given, and I was good with it. The awesome thing about that gift is that came up to me 2 weeks later, not 2 weeks ago, this was a couple of years ago, after that, and said, "You know, you have no idea how that met a need." I said, "Really? How?" And he said, we had this, and this is the amount, and this method's the whole need. And if we'd only given what my heart was, it wouldn't have met the whole need. And so my wife, believing that we were one, and we were one after the fact, she obeyed the Lord. And we saw God meet a need, which was very powerful. God wants us to serve one another, whether it be financial, whether it be getting dirty with them, whether it be just even speaking. And you'll see that even with Joseph's wife, when the baker and the butler came, he was available for them to meet what God was doing in their lives, to speak life into them in reference to their dreams. 1 Peter 4 says, starting in verse 7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled, sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers the multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. We preach not ourselves. We preach Christ Jesus the Lord. But we become servants for Jesus' sake for you. God has called every one of us to serve. To serve Him and to serve each other. Are you up to the challenge? Do you have some growing to do in this area of serving? Ask the Lord to make you sensitive to the needs of the people that are around you. Then to begin to listen to the Lord and obey Him to where He directs you to do. I would encourage you to hear Tim Taylor's testimony, what God did for him yesterday, him and Vicki, of how the body needs to work and come together. And it's not just within the four walls. It's not just with us. It's as we leave here. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. That's serving. Not how much you know Jesus, but your good works, so that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. Are you up to the challenge? I want to grow in this area. I really do. I want to be able to see needs and be what Jesus wants me to be in serving. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who became a servant for us. Lord, we're grateful for the Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us in all manner of truth. In some sense, He's serving us to bring us the truth, to set us free, to show Himself strong in our lives. And God, we just need you so much more to invade us in ways that would bring glory and honor to you, that we can learn more to die to self so that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. God, make us servants. Please make us servants. Not so that others can see us, but they can see Christ in us, the living hope. Father, challenge us, convict us, bring life to us, speak life to us, set us free of our wrongful thinking about servants. Lord, would you make us each one a servant for your glory, for your honor, for your purpose. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.